rise up. We are supported solely by individuals just like you. We feature progressive voices rarely heard in the media, such as David Corton, Angela Davis, Arun Gandhi, David Suzuki, Roxanne Dunbar-Ortiz, Naomi Klein, Bill McKibben, and Noam Chomsky. We also have a series of Vandana Shiva programs. To access our complete audio and book catalog, just go to our website, alternativeradio.org. Again, our website where we are podcasting, alternativeradio.org. To place a credit card order for CDs, MP3s, or written transcripts of today's program, Vandana Shiva, on eco-social justice on the global front lines, call us 1-800-444-1977. Again, that number is 1-800-444-1977. Or you can order on our website, alternativeradio.org. Special thanks to the University of Colorado Environmental Center. Tim Butler recorded the program. The Kronos Quartet performs our theme music from Pieces of Africa. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamian. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, and coming up on the Boo this morning at 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on stage and studio, Dime Roberts welcomes Nandita Shenoy to discuss her play Wasser Dreyer. Then she talks to veteran performing artist and activist Shisao Hata about events this month remembering Japanese-American internment and Vanport history. And at 11:30, Art Focus is off this week. Instead, we present Counterspin with a look at the limits of police reform and a conversation with Alex Vitale, the author of The End of Policing. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. And now, after this announcement, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia Headlines, Interviews, and Commentary.
Dear listeners, KBOO turns 50 next year, and we're having a great time planning all the special events, special programming, and other celebrations of our radical revolutionary legacy. We will be highlighting important moments in KBOO history and would like your input. Please go to kboo.fm/OHSSurvey2017 to tell us your thoughts about your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, May 2nd, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, your tear gas in the face radio at 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM everywhere. And as our motto on Air Cascadia for the Trump era is, don't play God with me or I'll play the devil with you. So, all right, let's get into it and play the devil for 15 minutes. I always like to start with the weather, and I've already said why. Today it is going to drizzle. There's a word you don't get from the National Weather Service. You get it right here, of course. 65 degrees. So if you're bacteria, you're dancing a jig right now. It's perfect. And for tonight, drizzle continues with a low around 53. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 81. And for tomorrow night, clear skies and low around 57. So that brings us to yet a new monster, which we didn't see coming. The Oregon School Boards Association is threatening to sue the state. This is the state land board over plans for the Elliott State Forest. It's board versus board regarding a state forest and logging. I feel I might just leave it at that and walk away. But no, the message came through clearly in a three-page letter sent to the state land board's three members. We, of course, Governor Kate Brown and our treasurer, Tobias Reed, and the Secretary of State, Dennis Richardson. By the way, Dennis Richardson is got Republican, right? He's decided he's come up with a wonderful plan to avoid gerrymandering. This from a Republican, I'd run like hell from this one, but nonetheless, Dennis is trying, you know, keeping his end up there in Salem. So this is extraordinary. We also hear that our state treasurer Tobias Reed is backing away from the move to privatize the Elliott State Forest. We should just buy it and get it over with and take it out of the hands of school board, which obviously, whatever else they know, they don't know a lot about forests. If that said, the Elliott Forest is required by law to generate money for public schools. But that was then, and this is now. We had a lot back then, trees and not so many people. Now we have a lot of people and not so many trees. Maybe it's time to rethink this. So many other communities that consider themselves strapped for jobs, strapped for tax revenue, have figured it out. And they have new types of industry which provide better paying jobs that are a lot safer than going to work every day wondering if a gigantic tree is going to fall on you. And that would solve the school problem once and for all. The idea of logging the Elliott State Forest comes from the past. The days of the OK Corral. Well, today, the corral is not so okay, and it might be time to rethink this horrible idea. We're going to be talking, I hope, today, shortly, with Nick Cady, with Cadia Wild, and hear from him a few more details and exactly what is in it for the Oregon school boards. You know it's not schools, because nobody goes to bat for schools. It just never happens, not in the state of Oregon. That's why we're in trouble. But there has to be some other incentive here. It's not that their hearts weep for, the children and their schools. No, I doubt that's it. I'm pretty sure that The Oregon School Board has a little bit more skin in the game than that. So we're going to be following up on it, and I doubt if it's going to come as any surprise that there are connections here with the timber industry. God knows what, though. There is still the debate over what to do with the Elliott State Forest, as legislators are trying to close their $1.6 billion funding gap. It's a very, very simple problem. You follow the money. Even legislators must be able to figure that out. How in the hell do they get to be legislators if they don't understand follow the money? Follow the money. Tax the people who have the money. You can't keep pounding away on the impoverished working poor because they're tapped out. And it is without tax revenue, it doesn't matter how many trees you cut down. You are never going to fill the gap. Nick, I believe, is ready to join us. Good morning, Nick.
Hello, Chris.
Hi, good morning. I happened to hear of this and went after it as soon as I got to cable, called you, called a number of people. It's a busy day, apparently. I've been ranting for a while, so it's a good thing that you're on with us because you will bring a calmer atmosphere. The Oregon School Board is threatening to sue the state land board. So you've got board versus board in a timber dispute. Does it get any better or worse? What on earth prompted the Oregon School Board Association to sue the state land board over the Elliott State Forest?
Right. I think the school board is operating under a false presumption or assumption that the state of Oregon has this duty to maximize revenue. That's the language that keeps getting tossed around, that they have to maximize money from the Elliott State Forest. And that's simply not true. That standard was eliminated by Oregon voters with a constitutional amendment in the late 60s that eliminated that maximized revenue standard and required instead the conservation of Oregon's lands. And so they're just operating from a totally false presumption. That's a talking point of industry lobbyists that they're just regurgitating. It's simply not based in reality.
So if they, they've ginned up this lawsuit. So where are they getting the money for that? If everybody's so strapped for money,
that's a great question.
How are they paying for this?
Well, they're using
qui bono. Who benefits? That's what I'm curious about.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. The lawsuit hasn't been filed yet. They're just talking, so we'll wait and see how this all shakes out. But I believe they're operating from a position based in fantasy.
So if we set aside for now the possible explanation that they all care so much for the poor children in their schools, and we need to buy a lot more pencils and so forth, and look for another explanation. What on earth prompted that? I mean, this is, I don't know, maybe you saw it, but I did not see this coming, and I pay a lot of attention to the Elliott State Forest.
Yeah, this is something that's always kind of been floated as like a threat to us and our movement to conserve the Elliott State Forest, but we always viewed it as that, just an idle threat, because it has no basis in fact or law. And so we're honestly, it's disappointing to see the school board do this, and it's going to be even more disappointing if they spend a bunch of taxpayer money on expensive lawyers from Portland to bring this, futile lawsuit. That would be the most disappointing thing of all. But yeah, I mean, we're committed to conserving the Elliott State Forest, and we know the solutions that we're working on are rooted in sound law and the recent version of the Oregon Constitution. That's some version from the 50s. So
that's the thing, is everything about the idea of funding schools by logging something, a treasure, the Elliott State Forest is so improbable that I still, this, although we've been I've talked about it and listened to a great many hours of testimony, it's just still the question remains, isn't there a better way to fund schools? This seems ridiculous. This is in our last minute that we have today on the show. Why have we not come up with a better way? Why is this the only way people can see funding schools?
Well, I think, you know, Oregon can fund schools like every other state funds schools. Use tax dollars to fund schools. I don't think it's a novel idea to use your tax dollars to pay for education. The archaic formula of logging old growth to pay for schools just is outdated. You know, we've logged everything out here. There's very little left that's going to yield the money that the state needs. It's just, the answer is in tax money.
And the old adage in the investment industries is never destroy the principal. If you have you only gamble with money that you can afford to gamble with, and we cannot afford to gamble anymore with our forests, it would seem. One last thought, just one last idea to leave with our listeners. Go ahead. Do you have something to leave with us today?
Yeah, I, you know, again, this is just a threat. They haven't actually filed a lawsuit, so I would just hope that the school board and the state of Oregon spends its tax dollars on education instead of paying lawyers in Portland to fight over it.
Thank you so much for that, Nick. Our guest has been Nick Cady with Cascadia World. This has been Cascadia for Tuesday, May 2nd, 2017. Judy Feistel engineered for us today. Thanks, Judy. And, of course, Derek Crooks is our AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned.